So today we are going to continue with the fourth reading. We have learned about Levi. We have learned about Binyamin. Yesterday, the third reading concluded with Yosef. And today, we move into Zevulun, the merchant of joy. So why does Zevulun come after the tribe of Yosef? The Malbim says, because he was a neighbor to Ephraim, who is from Yosef. And since he was a neighbor to Ephraim and Manasseh, territorially speaking, that's why it's natural he should come right after, because they actually lived next to each other. Or as they say, lived in the same neighborhood. Ulezvulun Omar. And to Zvulun he said, Smach Zvulun b'tzeisecha. Rejoice, Zvulun, in your going out. V'yisachar b'eholecha. And Yisachar in your tents. Very cryptic. We have no idea what this means. So we have to go to Rashi. The first thing we notice is that Zvulun's name is repeated twice. When we learned about the other tribes, for example, Levi or Binyamin, it didn't say, Ula Levi Amar, Levi such and such. And here it starts off by saying, and to Zvulun he said, Smach Zvulun, rejoice Zvulun. So Rashi says, he notes, this is not the only time we're going to see a repetition of names. In fact, this is going to become common rather than the exception. It will happen no less than five times. Five of the 11 blessings that Moshe Rabbeinu will give, nearly 50% will be with a redundancy, with a repetition of name. Says Rashi, Elu Chamisha Shvatim, these five Shvatim, Sheberech Ba'achreina, that Moshe Rabbeinu blessed last, namely, Zvulun, God, Don, Naphtali, and Asher, Kofal Shmeisam, Moshe Rabbeinu repeated the names twice. Why did he do that? Says Rashi, Lechazkam, to strengthen them. That comes from the verb, from the noun Chozek, or Chazak, to strengthen them. Ulahagbiram, which comes from the noun Givura, strength, to give them more strength, to give them more power. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu only want to give more power to five of the tribes? So here, Rashi tells us something fascinating. The Shvatim, the tribes of Israel, all hailed from their progenitors, the original Shevet, the original son of Yaakov Avinu. And there's a very deep history here, and a recurring reality. So, Elu, Lefisha Elu, let's rephrase that. Shahoyu Chaloshim Shebechaloshvatim. These were the weakest of the Shvatim, and because they were naturally the weakest, that's why they needed the greatest encouragement. That's why they needed newfound strength. That's why they needed an added infusion. How do we know they were the weakest? We don't get an indication of who's weaker or stronger. We don't know of any kind of Olympics for the Jewish people to see who could have more strength. So Rashi says, Heim, heim, shehelech Yosef lefnei Faroi. If you go back to the sweep of the Jewish history, in the beginning of our sojourn in Egypt, when Pharaoh wants to meet Joseph's brothers, he introduces only five. He doesn't bring all 12. Why does he want to introduce five? Yosef has a concern. His concern is that the Pharaoh is going to draft his brothers to serve in the military. After all, as we just learned in the Rambam yesterday, a king is first and foremost concerned with self-defense. Like in the United States, the president is called the commander-in-chief. So what happened to kings in days of old when they found somebody who could be mighty or valiant? You induct them into the armed forces. You make them part of your fighting force. And this was a concern to Yosef. He didn't want his brothers ending up in the Egyptian army, and they didn't want to be in the Egyptian army. It was bad enough to have to live in Egypt. So he did everything possible to minimize that suggestion even. So what do you do? If you have some brothers who are extremely strong, extremely well-built, and some of them are not so well-built, which ones would you bring in front of the Pharaoh?
The weakest.
The weakest. So if you wanted to show off, look at my brothers, they're amazing, then you bring the strongest specimens. But Yosef actually did not want to show off. He did not want the Pharaoh to be impressed with his brothers. So he brought the weaker brothers. Who were they? As it says in Chumash Bereishis, towards the end, Umiktzei Echav Lakav. He took some of his brothers. Chamisha Anashim, five. Now, really, they weren't weak. None of the Shvatim were weak. Yaakov was a mighty warrior, a very, very powerful individual, and all of his children were very powerful. The notion of the puny, weak Jew is actually not correct, historically inaccurate. We were beaten down into a pulp, and exile imposed such difficulties on us that we ended up being weak physically and only retained the spirit of strength. But the truth is, the strength of spirit. The truth is, we once had physical material strength too. And so, these are the five brothers. They looked, lefi shenirim chaloshim, they looked weaker. And as such, when the Pharaoh would see them, v'le yasem esam, he wouldn't appoint them to be sorei milchamtei, to be the ones who would prosecute his wars. So Yosef brought the weaker. Who were the weaker? So our tradition tells us the weaker were Zvulun, Gad, Dan, Naphtali, and Asher. And since those progenitors of that, those individual tribes looked weaker in their time, so their children, their progeny, also seemed to be weaker. And maybe were even actually weaker. What's a perceived thing with the ancestors comes out into a very actual and technical real reality in the children. And they were slightly weaker. And because they're weaker, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted all Yidden to be strong. As the expression goes, Yid of Zayin Gesund, Yid is to be healthy and strong, to be able to serve Hashem. And so, Moshe Rabbeinu added some blessing. He simply repeated their name. And by repeating their name, that was Lachazkam Ulahagbidam. So that's the first question we answered. What's the next question? The next question is, why are Yisachar and Zvulun together in the same verse? Why didn't they get individual blessings? Some of the tribes have multiple verses, and this tribe seems to have only one verse. Well, in all fairness, this is verse 18, but if you go to verse 19, he does speak about the concept of Zvulun afterwards again. But God isn't even, Yisachar is even mentioned again. In verse 20 already, we're on to God. And the question is, what does it mean anyway? Zvulun should rejoice in his going, and Yisachar should rejoice in his tent. Where is he going? Why is Yisachar in a tent? So Rashi explains, Zvulun v'Yisachar asu shutafis. These two tribes had a partnership between them. The partnership was as follows. Zvulun l'chayf yamim yishkin. Zvulun would live in Yafo, or in the modern iteration in Tel Aviv. And his gross national product would be not wine, not fruit, not even sheep, but rather high-tech, business, commerce. Nothing has changed in so many years. Yeitze lepragmatia. He goes out to do business. How do you go out to do business? Well, you have to import and export. You have to purchase goods, to bring goods. And how did you do so in the ancient world? What was the primary method of transportation? Mass transportation.
Ship.
All cities were once built on waterways. Dallas is the first city ever not built on a waterway. Why? Because for commerce, you need to have waterways. Either you have a river, or you have a great lake, or you have an ocean. So Zvulun was living at the seashore, and he was doing business. Umistaker, he would earn a tidy profit. He would euphemistically place sustenance in the mouth of Yisachar. Vehem and Yisachar, conversely, yeshvim ve'iskim b'Torah. They would sit, meaning stay put, and they would study Torah. That would be their thing. Lefichach, and therefore, higdim zvulun liYisachar. If so, if that's the case, if Zvulun is the merchant and Yisachar is the scholar, surely we, as a people of Torah, would place Zvulun first? Not so. We don't place Zvulun first. We don't place Yisachar, don't place Torah first. We place business first. We do? We place business first? Business is a greater value and virtue than studying Torah? So Rashi says, because the Zvulun is the one who enabled Shatirasa Shal Yisachar Ayyadei Zvulun Haisa. It was only through Zvulun that Yisachar could study Torah. And so, naturally, who comes first? The enabler. And this is what the Torah is saying to us. Moshe Rabbeinu blessed Zvulun, he should be successful in enabling Yisachar to study Torah. And that's why Zvulun is mentioned first, because Zvulun enables, and Yisachar follows through being enabled and he studies Torah. So now we know why they're together in one verse. We also know why the idea of Zvulun, Zvulun's got to go out. Rashi tells us what's up with the smach. Why does he have to be a joyous, a jolly merchant? Do your job. Make the profit. Why do it with joy? Isn't it, after all, just a means to an end? Shouldn't Zvulun's joy also be in Torah study? Shouldn't he rejoice in his family? Shouldn't he rejoice in the things that are really important, not dollars and cents? So Rashi interprets the word smach as smach Zvulun hatzlich betzeischa. You should be successful in your going out l'scheira. Be successful in it. Because if a person is not happy about what he or she is doing, they will never be successful. If you have the wrong attitude, it will never go well. Now, that's how Rashi interprets the word smach. And on a literal level, it does seem rather odd that Zvulun would have this business of its emphasis of joy. So maybe you could say that Zvulun wasn't so happy with his lot. He said, I'd rather till the fields. I'd rather study Torah. Why do I have to spend my life on a ship? You know, for a little child, it looks like fun. You're traveling everywhere. Once you're doing this a few years, it's not so much fun anymore. So that's already boring. Guess I want to stay home. And my friend Yisachar stays home all day. He's always studying Torah. So maybe he gets a little bit unhappy about what he's doing. If he gets unhappy about what he's doing, he'll never succeed. Now Rabbeinu Bechaya, who has always a mystical and spiritual approach, takes a very different method. He says that smach zvulun b'tzeisecha says like this. He says, he blessed him that when you leave this world, you should be able to rejoice in Torah. In other words, what does Rabbeinu Bechaya mean? Life in the material and literal sense is ephemeral. It's passing. It doesn't have lasting value. Where should Zvulun's real joy be? What should his life really be about? Not what does he spend most of his waking hours doing. Not what is he most involved in on a quantitative level, but qualitatively speaking, what lights his candle? What ignites his spark? And this is the big question. So when he leaves this world, what does Zvulun yearn for? What does he really want? And the blessing is that despite the fact that Zvulun's involved in business and in commerce, despite the fact that he's a merchant, his values should be Torah values anyway. Of course Yisachar is going to have Torah values. That's what he does. Of course he's going to have spiritual values. What else would he have? He sits and learns Torah all day. But Zvulun is different. Zvulun is out there. And so Moshe Rabbeinu blessed him. When you leave this world, meaning when all this, when you put this behind you, your joy should be, when you leave, the things that are really most valuable. Now, the Ur HaChaim says there's two reasons, two causes for Zvulun's joy as a merchant. Number one, the profit that he makes ultimately enables the study of Torah. Don't be joyous in the fancy car you drive, in the larger home, or more beautiful clothes. Be joyous in the fact that you have the ability to make what they call in philanthropy today a transformational benefaction. A regular person can give a few pennies to tzedakah. You could change the world. You can change the reality of the Jewish people. So you should rejoice in that ability. That should make you happy. In other words, the wealthy person should not be happy in the wealth in and of itself. The wealthy person should be happy in the fact that they are able to stimulate the growth of Yiddishkeit. They're able to catalyze development of spiritual life through their money. That's what they should be happy about. Number one. Number two, there's a concern for a business person, maybe he won't succeed. There's always a worry, an underlying worry. If a person has dedicated himself to Torah study, okay, so you dedicate yourself to Torah study, then study Torah. Who's getting in your way? As long as you do it wholeheartedly, why shouldn't you succeed? With business? Who says? There are plenty of people who try really hard in business and they fail. Plenty of people who don't try very hard, somehow they succeed. When it comes to business, there's a lot of mazel. There's a lot of what they call luck. Of course, there is no such thing as luck. We call it a blessing of Hashem. And nobody really knows. It says, Ein adam yadeh b'mah mistaker. A person doesn't know where his profit comes from. Every businessman sees Hashgacha Pratas, divine design, more so than an ordinary person, more so even than a Torah scholar. Why? Because it's all miraculous. You thought your profit would come from here, and that was a total disaster, a write-off. You thought this would be a waste of time. You just were forced into it, and that's where your profit came from. You don't know where your profit's going to come from. And there's always a worry. In Hayom Yom, the Rebbe states that the avoda of a bal esek, that the work of an entrepreneur, of a merchant, of a business person, is to arouse within himself the surety and the confidence that Hashem will provide success in business, as if he already had that success, as if it's already post ipso facto, it's already done. That's not easy. It's very difficult to be able to awaken that kind of confidence, that kind of trust in Hashem. Right? The emphasis here is trust. The Rebbe famously once asked a person, he was giving him a dollar, and the Rebbe said to him, you know what it says on the dollar? It says, in God we trust. What does it mean to trust? The Rebbe said, it doesn't say in God we believe. It says on the dollar, in God we trust. And the Rebbe said, to trust means I trust you. I can leave things in your hands. I trust you. So here we speak about this idea of a business person who trusts in Hashem. And interestingly, the Ora Chaim's words are really echoed in Hayom Yom, where it says that that is the aveda of a business person, that he should be happy before he made the money, because he so trusts Hashem that things will work out. I mean, it's with God's help, it's going to work out. So this is some of the reasons why Zevulun is a happy merchant, where his business should be conducted with joy. Now, Rabbeinu Bechaya emphasizes the notion that despite the fact that he's an entrepreneur and a successful businessman, his joy is in Torah study. When he leaves this all behind, that's his real joy. And the Ora Chaim emphasizes something very different. He emphasizes the kind of emunah, the kind of faith, and the kind of things that should bring the business person joy. The fact that he or she is able to stimulate and catalyze Torah study, and the fact that they have this confidence and this trust in Hashem. So now here's the Rebbe's way of explaining Smach Zvulun B'tzisecha, this very odd and unusual kind of commandment that Zvulun should be joyous in business. Sounds very un-Jewish, really. But that should be the source of a Yid's joy. So we're going to learn, actually, two entries today. On page Reish Lamed Gimel in the Biurim book, in Simen Yud, here's a short, pithy little teaching, which is taken from Shavuos and Parshas Balak of the year 1977. The Rebbe said like this: Yesh lefarish, we might explain the meaning of smach zvulun, zvulun's seemingly misplaced joy, his odd kind of happiness in his business. Me'acha sha'avedase shel zvulun hu b'tzeischa, zvulun's going out. Smach zvulun b'tzeischa, you're going out. Since zvulun is told to joyously go forth, keloimar, in other words, Sha'olav Lotzeis me Eretz Yisrael. Think about that. Where were the Jewish people living at the time? Where are we supposed to live? In Israel. Where is Zevulun going to do business? If he's traveling the high seas, he's going to North Africa, he's going to Spain, he's going to Greece, the Aegean Peninsula. He's traveling around the Mediterranean basin. He's outside of Israel. And if he's outside of Israel, who is he in touch with? Nations. Nations. Lamed bekishrei mischar, he has then business relationships in umas ha'olam. This is davar hakarach b'migbalis u'b'kshiyim rabim. This is something that brings added burden and challenge to a yid's life. If you live kind of a sheltered existence, you don't have to do with the world, worldliness, or nations, you can stay focused on Torah. It's easier to remain a devout Jew. But when you're out there, you're b'tzeischa. You're transcending the borders of Israel. You're going into strange and foreign lands. You're dealing with all kinds of alien influences. It gets much more difficult. So the question is, how do you overcome it? And this becomes a general question and a general lesson. How do we overcome challenges? If life is more difficult than usual, if Hashem decided to pick you and choose you for special challenges, how do you overcome it? How do you succeed at it? And the Rebbe's answer was, it's right in the Chumash. Zvulun, who is b'tzeischa, Zvulun who goes out and thusly engenders greater challenges, more so than the rest of Am Yisrael, smach. It's with joy. Olav laharbis b'myuchad b'simcha. Then he has to work on increasing his joy. Kedei lifreitz migbeleis elu, in order to transcend and get past these barriers. We know that simcha, poiretz kol hagdarim, joy has this marvelous way of breaking down barriers. So if a person finds himself limited, a person finds himself squeezed, a person finds himself in some way disabled from growth, then joy is the way that we can overcome it. Simcha, it's poiretz, it breaks down all those barriers. And this is, it's a general rule in Torah. The concept actually is brought down in many times throughout the corpus of Torah, especially in the writings of Chassidus. We emphasize this idea of Simcha Peretz Geder. So Simcha Peretz, or Peretz is Geder. That's why Zevulun, who had the greatest Gedorim, who had the greatest barriers placed before him, on a spiritual level at least, because he was out there. He was the first one of the Jewish people on the front line, so to speak, of assimilation. He was the first one who was engaging with and having to do with realities outside the orbit of Torah Mitzvahs, of Am Yisrael. And so the answer is, how should Zevulun overcome that challenge? Torah tells him specifically, Smach. On a different occasion, and this is from the early 80s, the Rebbe said, Yesh Levayres Hasiba, it behooves us to try to explain the reason, Lahaskaras in Yinasimcha, that the mention of joy in all of Moshe Rabbeinu's blessings only show up with regard to Zevulun. It's the only time, the only one of the tribes who's told, Smach, be joyous. So the Rebbe suggested on that occasion the following. The Gemara of Maseches Bava Metzia, page 38, makes the following statement. Roitza Adam Bekav Shaloi, Mitisha Kavim Shachavere. A kav is a measure. Call it a pound. So a person once would prefer to have 1 pound of his own than 9 pounds of borrowed or gifted reality. Even though everybody thinks they want to win the lottery, it's not really true. Deep down, what we want is satisfaction in our life. And satisfaction is achieved when we accomplish something. People want to feel accomplished. People want to feel they're able to do something. A person wants to be successful. A person wants to feel that he or she is making a contribution. A person wants to feel a sense of entitlement, that not because I'm entitled. I'm entitled because I worked at this. I deserve it. We want to feel deserving. We don't want to feel like schnurrers, somebody like a beggar who's getting things for free. It's not a good feeling. People born with silver spoons in their mouth don't like the silver spoon that much. And I've known over my years people who were born with silver spoons who threw away the silver spoon and said, I'm going to do this on my own. So that's how Hashem built us. That's human nature. And because that's the case, a person would prefer having less that was accomplished and achieved than more that came for free. Now, of course, superficially, people would rather the path of least resistance. And everybody thinks they want to go on vacation and just chill and do nothing. But it's not really true. Deep down, in the macro, it doesn't work out that way. It doesn't bring us happiness. Happiness comes from accomplishment. Happiness comes when we are able to do something. And because that's the case, we would prefer to have less of our own, but our own, than more of a hand up from somebody else. The blessings that Moshe gave to the other tribes, they contain primarily haftoches, lebrachas shenis, promises, guarantees for blessings, a variety of blessings. Sheyanik lahem hakodesh baruchu. But these were blessings that would be gifted to them, blessings that would be given to them by God. For example, the blessing of Yosef, which was the end of yesterday's reading. Meverechas Hashem artzei. God will bless his land. How hard did Yosef have to work to make his land blessed? The answer is he didn't. Well, how is it blessed? How was this land producing such an extraordinary rate of crops? How did it happen? How did the land produce such fine crops? Because the land produced it. He didn't work harder. He didn't feel that he accomplished more. We have similar sentiment echoed throughout all of the Shvatim. The Ilu, conversely, habracha shehenek meshel zvulun, the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gives to Zvulun, misyacheses lemelachtei shel zvulun atzmai. Ultimately, Zvulun didn't get anything on a silver tray. He had to work for it. Smach zvulun bitzei secha. He had to transcend his orbit, his zone of comfort, his easy or cushy life on the seashore. He's the one who had to work hard to be able to reach out and achieve success. And as so, it says, Zvulun l'chayf yamim yishkein, he lives at the beach. However, the yoytze, he doesn't just live like a bum on the beach. The yoytze l'parkmata, he goes out to do business. He goes out besvinis, in large ships. And that was no fun. There was always fear of a hurricane, and always fear of what could happen on the high seas, and always a risk, and the difficulty of being away from home. Many challenges came with it. It was not an easy thing to do. It's a difficult thing to do. And so, really and truly, the tribe that worked hardest for the success that they had was Zvulun. And therefore, the Rebbe suggested, it says, Dafke, with regard to Zvulun, smach, this idea of joy. He should be the merchant of joy. Why? Shekein Zvulun, hu shezocha lebracha, shebuchinas kav shalei. Zvulun is the one who merited a blessing that was your accomplishment, your achievement. You'll be doing this all by yourself. And this is a bracha, the greatest blessing that comes to us, not when we get it for free, not when it's easy, but rather when it comes ayidei melacha v'yegia, when it comes through toil and effort. V'lo irak k'matana mumayla, not simply as a gift for free from on high. And this, that Rebbe suggests, is the lesson of Smach Zvulun. Zvulun had the greatest chance at happiness because Zvulun had to work hardest for success. And when you work for it, you appreciate it, and you feel good about it. So next time you start kvetching and complaining, how come I don't have an easier life? How come it doesn't come my way naturally? How come God doesn't just dump success on my head? Remember that Hashem is giving you the opportunity to be really happy. And the more you accomplish it on your own, the happier, invariably, you will all be. Let's be happy.